Hey students, welcome to episode 54 of the Film Student Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Lazzaroni. My guest this week is Sam Lounsbury from the Blue Cohort. We talk about the comedy scene in Boise, Idaho, the new Hulu show Pen 15, and Sam pushes to make sure the podcast doesn't end a little too soon. On with the show.
I actually moved here before the school started. I moved here to pursue a life in improv, and I realized that there's no money in improv.
There is for some, but
there is
very,
for some.
Very few.
There is for some, and I think they're like not letting anyone else know about it. It's like, but yeah, no, I came here to study improv and also just to move. I lived in my hometown for most of my life, and I kind of wanted to get a different change of scenery.
Where's home?
Boise, Idaho. Go Broncos.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So you're an Idaho guy.
All right. Tell me, are there a lot of Idaho guys here?
I feel like there is one other. There is. One of the girls in the new Violet cohort is from outside Boise, I think.
We probably know each other.
So you're no longer alone.
Nice.
and if you put, of course, right now I can't think of her name. Because I'm terrible with names. I've said this before on the podcast.
It's not that she didn't like leave an impression. It just
Where she's from. Yeah. I remember when we had the conversation. I'm just terrible with names.
Right. you know who I am, right? You remember? You know my name and everything.
You're Samantha?
Yes, I'm Samantha Lounsbury.
So, but yeah, how did you end up coming to the school then? Did you find out about through the classes that you were already taking? Or
I heard about it through classes I was already taking. I also just. My mom sent me an email about it. A lot of the information about Chicago I get from my mom in Idaho.
Who doesn't live here, yes.
She knows. She has her pulse on the city more than I do. But she sent me an email, and I had no reason not to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just filled it out, and coincidentally, I got a call from Julie.
Yeah.
And she said, we can't put you in this first class, but we'd like to put you in the second group of classes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just... Like, that's exactly how it happened.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so had you done anything like this before coming through the school as far as filmmaking or anything like that? Or was
no.
it just sketch
no.
and stage
Not
stuff?
Even sketch. I was, I came from theater and stand-up.
Okay.
And then, like, in Idaho a little bit, because there is a very vibrant, in Boise specifically, there's a very vibrant community of theater people mm-hmm. and a very vibrant and up-and-coming stand-up.
Really?
Community going on there now. Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in Boise.
I mean, it's a college town. Boise State, I'm sure, makes that...
It is, but it's also, like, it's growing outside of that. Like, it's not just the college town, and sometimes mm-hmm. the college town is a little less progressive mm-hmm. than the actual town itself.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting just to see, like a growing... Like, I come back just to visit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when I left, it was changing every minute. Like, the traffic, they were building, like, new entire wings of the city,
mm-hmm.
like, over the course of 8 months.
Was this for an event or something like that?
Just because they could.
An Olympics like, build out.
No, like. Yeah. They just build, like, they build an event center.
Yeah.
They build, like, a bunch of hotels. It's just been growing exponentially since I left, and like by the time I get back, every time it's a new city and it's a new place, and I'm like, I'm always like, I've fallen back in love with it every time I go.
Nice.
Yeah, and
but you keep coming back here.
Yeah, I don't know why they let me. I have to specify. Do
people
you mean
are able to
the
move.
Building, or do you mean the? Or
I'm talking
Chicago?
About Chicago now.
Okay, good.
They're not barring you from entering the city in any
good.
Way, shape, or form that I'm aware
not
of.
Not yet. I am still waiting for the letter from them to do that.
But so, what would your? So you decided to apply to the school to go through the program, all that.
Yeah.
What was the end goal with it? Was it just a chance to try something different and see what that pastor was like, or was it?
It was exactly that. It was really I had no idea what I was going to get myself into when I got in here. And that's by the time I left, I completely changed as a person a little bit. That
I
happens.
Like how you laugh through that. Like,
well, yeah, because I didn't realize
I experienced personal change,
like growth and trauma and all that stuff. They come with filmmaking? I never knew that.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it, yeah, I went in just with like wanting to experience all of it. I had like, I had some knowledge of film. Like I grew up like an indoor kid a little bit. Mm-hmm. I had bad asthma, mm-hmm. and everywhere I went, my parents would bring like a little DVD player for me to like watch something. And I feel like even like long road trips.
Yeah.
Like just to make sure I wouldn't like jump out the window or something like that, they just put like a little DVD player. This was like up until like I turned like 12, and then like I immediately stopped doing that.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I've always been in love with film.
Mm-hmm.
I always been in love with the process of filmmaking, and I even like as a kid I had like vision flights of fancy of like becoming a critic or something, mm-hmm. and like and enjoying like the company of Roger Ebert and Gene yeah. Siskel. And then
was this from watching the cartoon series of the Critic? Did
no,
that play
actually,
into it?
I never watched that show.
Really?
Never watched it. I probably saw like little clips of it like on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
But like I never watched a complete episode. But I until like later, like when I think I even got here, I realized like, yeah. oh shit, the Critic was a show.
This was a thing.
It was a thing that happened. Yeah. Oh, by the way, are you recording? I just want to make sure.
Yes, no,
okay,
I am recording.
I thought this was the pre-interview. You're
yeah,
just
no,
getting
I'm
you're just
shooting
getting
the shit. Good. That's what the little dancing lines are over on the screen there. That
it's just it marks the boredom that's happening. Actually,
mostly on my side. Notice it's much quieter than what we're getting, which is fine. That's
it's
how
just,
an interview is supposed to
it's
work.
It's weird because it's also just standing there really still. I'm like, are we just? Did they just record the first half or like?
Nope, it just okay. I set it up to record for however long this takes.
Okay,
and it just goes
good. Thank you. I was very nervous. I thought you were wasting precious gold.
No, that
was
no. Happening. This is digital file space. It doesn't cost a thing.
Okay.
It's easy enough.
Yeah.
So what was your style like? What did it end up being when you started making stuff in the program? It's given that you didn't necessarily have a background in it, like what did you gravitate towards?
I gravitated to everything a little bit. Like okay. I know, like I gravitated mainly just to be on sets.
Okay.
And just to like see how other people work and just try to like kind of steal a little bit from mm-hmm. them and steal a little bit of that and like just try to do that all the time, but like I gravitated to because that's actually a great question, because I actually didn't gravitate to anything like if you're talking specific things mm-hmm. like writing, directing, acting, like I mm-hmm. was like just trying to keep my toes in
trying
like
to do everything.
A little bit, yeah, exactly.
But stylistically, how did you fall? Like, was it very sketch type stuff?
Oh,
was it very, like,
okay. So what you mean, like,
it's both. It's both. Both questions are valid.
I
feature
person. Yeah, I guess that's is that an answer that's given?
Sure.
Here, okay.
I mean, it's anybody that you're trying to pattern your stuff after, or
oh,
are you trying
oh,
to go completely unique with the approach to it?
Oh man. I tend to always want,
I'm breaking you with questions.
Yeah, you're like Mark Maron with this shit. Oh, it's just gonna be uncomfortable. No, I guess to pattern anyone, to just have people like me.
Okay,
that's probably like that's honestly the I hate to give that as an answer, but like I really don't have a pattern necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like I guess how have people answered this question before? Because I'm not understanding it.
It's not even necessarily a question that I've had before. Because in a lot of cases, people came in with a background in like some sort of production or sketch or something like that. And they were making the same kind of stuff.
Okay.
Versus coming in and saying, so you're writing a feature, but like, is it slapstick? Is it kind of a talky thing, like a Kevin Smith type thing? Is it action? Like what's your kind of bend for stuff?
Oh, okay. Now I see what you mean. I bend towards more emotional dramedy stuff.
Okay.
Like Noah Baumbach, I'm sorry if you're not supposed to cuss over this.
No, go for it.
Okay, shit, fuck, dicks.
I don't think most people say dicks when they're it's like,
well, they're going to.
You're starting the trend now.
Yes. What hashtag Sam?
Such a general hashtag that applies to nothing specific.
So this is the hashtag for this podcast.
You just said the same thing. It's hashtag Sam. That's hashtag surface to air missile is what you just.
Oh, no, you've been spotted. Shit.
Sit down.
No one's We're supposed not to. Done yet. yeah, I guess patterned by like just the auteurs, I guess, like I realized this over this last year, the year I took after school. That I was like, man, I follow the patterns of people that don't like to work with other people.
Okay.
Like
that always use the same like handful of people over and over again. Is that what you mean?
Like people that just write, direct, and produce, and they don't trust anyone else. I'm like, no, I'm like,
oh yeah.
But like, I like working with other people. A lot of like, that's not how I write now. Like I do a vomit draft first, mm-hmm. and I would send it out to everyone else, and they would just give me notes, and I mm-hmm. would work on those writing and writing that stuff. But like, I realize like looking back through all the people that I've loved and have admired their work, it's really just a lot of lonely singular artists, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh man, that's a very sad realization to come to.
But okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I can see like the like
Hitchcock
Bombach.
A little bit. Yeah.
How about, so given that you've got an improv background, stuff like Joe Swanberg type things, I would imagine that's something you would be into? Or have you even seen?
I have seen a couple of stuff. His show Easy is very good. I think he's better in shorter format than he is mm-hmm. in like feature lengths to me. Like I'm a weirdo. I could probably watch paint dry if it's filmed compellingly, but like for some reason his stuff just comes off as too mundane, mm-hmm. like almost like non problems.
Right.
And like whenever I watch his stuff, I'm always reminded of what Alfred Hitchcock said of like, drama is what happens when you cut the boring stuff out of life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just wish that he would cut the boring stuff out of his script sometimes.
I think the tough thing with his is that in one of our classes it came up that when you're anything that you see on screen is theoretically like the most interesting thing that happened to those characters
yes.
in their life, and that's the snapshot of the most interesting time from start to finish. And like that's the story that you're watching.
Yeah, and that should be the case for most things.
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah. But in his case, it doesn't always necessarily feel that way. Like sometimes sometimes you feel like I'm just watching Tuesday to Thursday in a given week for these people. And like, and there's, I think that's mumblecore in general. 'Cause like Frances Ha is a really compelling film, but it doesn't, it's not.
I think she has a complete change through that movie though.
But it still feels very snapshot. And I feel like there's so many other moments in her life that would also be as if not more so interesting based on what you learn over the course of the film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that's interesting to me is this idea that you're going to create something where it almost doesn't matter that it's not that different from everything else. You're just getting such a character piece. And there's some of those that I like. Like I love Lady Bird.
Oh yeah, no, that's amazing.
Yeah, and Lady Bird is very much it just kind of ends.
Yeah.
Like it could easily keep going and cover.
You can follow
more.
Most of her college years, or you can follow like how the family's dealing with her being away from college.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it just kind of ends because that time is over. Like, yeah. And it's just telling the arc of making the decision to go cross country for college. Like that's effectively it. And having like a personal, like, you know, eighth life crisis.
Yeah. And like, but also like she's gaining agency. Like she's like she's like kind of like on her own completely now, and like that I think that's really I always found that what was compelling about that film mm-hmm. in particular is that like, oh, there's a lot of she always complains about how much her parents are overbearing mm-hmm. or like how much they're there, and then like, oh, but she really does miss the shit out of them. Which I think is like, that's like, I don't think I've ever cried more in that movie than like in the last 5 years when I watched it with my parents.
Yeah.
Like we went to a theater and we watched that. I was just balls, just like just drooping. It was like the Red Sea was like coming out of my face. It was so sad.
Specifically the Red Sea. No other.
That's
no
what
other,
parted, right? Am no I wrong?
Other, yeah, but it,
my
parted,
face parted the, through tears. just tears.
Your nose just straight through the middle of the tear.
Just
Red Sea.
Running through.
Got it.
Like
okay.
So
what do you actually want to do with this stuff? What's your, now that you've had your toes in every form of water?
Yeah,
as far
every
as
form of
goes,
water.
What's your bend? Is it writing primarily, or do you want to be able to kind of auteur and create your own stuff?
I feel weird saying the word auteur, but like it's something that other people thrust upon
mm-hmm.
you. You're not something that should say that
you
about
say
yourself.
Multi hyphenate then.
I would love to write and direct my own stuff. Yes.
Okay.
But I took the year off to kind of figure what I wanted to do with that. Like mm-hmm. like all last year, I didn't really create anything. I helped a lot of people out with their mm-hmm. projects. I was a PA for a lot of my classmates and a lot of their classmates mm-hmm. and I just kind of took time just to like learn and try to figure out what I really want to do in this mm-hmm. business. And now that like I kind of know what I have a story that I'm gonna direct maybe April if I can mm-hmm. but yeah, it just I realize it's just personal filmmaking that is kind of what like I have a tendency of not really giving a shit of what the audiences are there.
Right.
It's just like for my own sake.
Yeah, you make stuff for you, which honestly is not a bad path, because there
yeah.
are people out there that say like the only way to make sure that you're always enjoying the stuff that you're creating is to create the stuff that you enjoy.
Yeah,
like if you're creating the things that you would watch,
but,
you're gonna find an audience that also wants to watch that too.
But yeah, but how do you market that without having like doing it for 10 years as well? Like that's another big hurdle that I'm always
I'm not saying you don't. You might have to. It might take 10 years to actually
yeah.
pin down and find an audience. But, you know, if you can enjoy that 10 years by making stuff that you really enjoy, like you're going to probably get there faster than somebody who's just making stuff for the sake of making stuff.
That's yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah, oh yeah, agreed.
I would hope this wisdom that I've heard before is somehow true.
I think I heard that was on Trevor's like first day orientation
yeah.
classes.
Trevor has a lot of default information in the first day orientation that's carried through. And so kind of looking at the program. So I think our project setup, because I was Cyan, that was the 8th class, I think,
yes.
to go through the program.
Yeah.
Cyan and Magenta went at the same time. You were Blue, which was 2nd, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you know of anything specifically that you guys did differently than us as far as projects or anything like that?
I haven't been like taking the class over again since.
Right. No, I know that. But you've been on sets to see the stuff that people are working on. Or is there anything that you saw that popped up that we were doing that you
didn't do,
or stuff that you know you did that you haven't heard it any of us doing the same thing?
I honestly don't know. I didn't go on your sets particularly.
Yeah. Okay.
But like I've been like, it's just the professionalism. I guess it's mm-hmm. kind of like it's instilled and there's like a shorthand a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And people are efficient,
yeah.
a lot more efficient than, not saying we were any like slow or anything, but like it was just that
it was still new. It was still figuring out equipment and figuring out like rentals and scheduling and how to do all that stuff.
Yeah. And like, I think the biggest thing that I can kind of tell between people that have taken classes and people that haven't, cause I've been on sets with that haven't been with Blue Corps or with any like Harold Ramis alumni mm-hmm. at all, is communication and how well they can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was on the Diagnosis Boring set.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like they were so communicative. They were like really, they like really well ran their ship well.
Yeah.
It was really efficient. We, everyone pitched in and we all had like clear ideas and things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I that is the same thing that happened with my class as well. Like we all had jobs, we all knew what to do. But like, there's some sets like no idea what's happening, no idea where we're going, and I'm just like wondering, like, okay, who do I go to get like an apple?
Yeah,
like,
it's not always clear.
It's not always clear,
and that goes down to, you know, who you bring on the set, because that's having a good director, having a good AD, having a good producer, and having good art direction. If you've got those four things, like you've got a functional set that will work really, really fluidly and easily.
Yeah, and I think also just having a good producer too. Yeah. Like that was the biggest difference that I noticed. If there's anything that, because we were all working on our own, we were all our own producers for a lot of our stuff for our finals. But like when I see like, oh, there is a difference between somebody that is directing and writing their own stuff and not worried about all the logistic stuff, not all like the like scheduling or all the other stuff. They're a lot less stressed and they could actually love
focus
and
on the creative
focus
stuff
on the creative
to make sure. Yeah,
yeah, which I think was like I'm always wanting to work with other people in that regard because it's just if nothing else, it just like has another person on just to, like that is vouching for me, but is also can take care of the things on set and make sure that I know when to bring up issues and another set of eyes. Yeah.
And
I know there was a long winding road to that realization, but
it does like I for a long time in DC had one friend that like the two of us we worked really well together for that reason.
Yeah.
And I got here and I didn't have that side. And so it was interesting trying to reestablish that after having like literally worked with somebody for a decade to build them up to, they're not even build them up to build each other up to a point where we understood how we interacted with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then to just need to replace that was just so weird.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And it's yeah. And you never realize how necessary it is until it's actually gone, which I think is 100%.
But so as far as
I feel like I'm not answering any of your questions.
No, you are.
I feel like I'm sideways answering them.
You were answering questions.
Okay, good.
Even if you meander and answer a different question by answering the question that I asked, then I'll ask the one that you did answer and see if you just work back to the right thing. that's how I'm playing this at this point in time. It's a game approach to interviewing somebody.
All right, can we get a suggestion, please?
Speaking of your final project, so you had to do same as we did a final film and a final written project.
Yes.
What were those two?
My final written project was a feature called The Other Man. It's based off a story of a couple friends I know and like that they've lit through, but and with my own personal experiences involved as well. But like there was a guy who it's centers around a guy who works at a bar, and he also like he is afraid of like real like serious relationships, like and that's boring, right? But like then he'll always like try to start affairs with other people in other serious relationships.
Okay,
like he's actively trying to cheat on be the other person that they're cheating with.
Okay,
so like he's like. Like let's say there's a couple there and they're like, I'll try to sleep with a girlfriend, and this is the character, not me.
Yeah.
I'll try to sleep with a girlfriend, like we'll be dating sideways, but like she'll have all the emotional conversations with her boyfriend or her partner. I'm just there to like have fun and like kind of be her friend on the side.
Somebody who's only attracted to people that are in other
relationships. That are in stability, And I think that was that was the feature length story, and it was like a lot of my essays in college, in that there was like five introductory good ideas, but no real resolution.
Okay,
I wrote a 90 page five starts of a movie that just ended, that had to wrap up everything. Like, oh shit, it's like. I haven't got to the central conflict. I might as well finish this. Be a statement on like
just give up and walk away.
And just a little bit. The other one was my short called Exit. It was about exit guides, and those are people that assist suicide in people that want to die.
Okay.
Yeah, and just this nurse who is assisting this elderly woman, and her last the elderly woman's last wish is that she would like to smoke a cigarette. But she, for some reason, the nurse doesn't have any cigarettes. She was like, okay, I'm going
to
go get...
Runs to the corner store. I've seen this one. Yeah.
I've
seen yours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was. I'm glad. Thank you so much for seeing it. So few people have, but I appreciate it. Yeah, no, and like, that was something that I wrote early stages as like a pilot or as a short film to a pilot. And I submitted that for my film school application.
Oh, okay.
And then like, I never really thought about bringing it up for my final until like, you know what? And then like Dale like asked around and said, hey, we have to worry about finals. I was like, you know what?
Dale asked around.
I'll like dust off that script up and bring it up to class.
I picture you just digging through a closet, picking up a piece of paper, just blowing the dust off the top of it. Perfect.
It's
shoot
it's
it as
half.
Is.
No I wrote changes it, at all.
I wrote it when I was 7. It's perfect.
I don't even know what death was.
So, yeah. So what's the one that you're shooting in April? Is that your feature that you wrote, or is that something completely
different? No, I'm not going to film my feature for...
Okay.
I'm going to touch that shit 10 years later from now.
Okay.
But the other one is like... It's kind of a psychological horror movie, I guess. Like I suffer from anxiety and like kind of downward spiral thinking sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of what last year I was trying to get that fixed learn tools that I can use to do that. And try to maneuver when I get into those situations. I try to use the tools that I've been taught. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of wanted to write a story of, like, what is it like to wake up and in my brain, I guess, and just, like, wonder, like, oh, shit, there's, like it's hard to wake up in this world right now.
Yes.
and not to just go back to sleep forever. Like, that's, like, the biggest... Biggest
so
thing.
It's exploring what it's like to get up out of bed, and it's a horror.
Yes, yes, what you're saying. Yes. And it's just like I'm excited. That's all I kind of want to talk about. But the other thing I'm working on with my roommates is I'm writing a sketch podcast with my roommates. Yeah, AM 1066. Is it okay if I plug it? It'll be out in March. It's a sketch. News archive parody show.
Okay.
We talk about just check it out. Look it up. AM 1066. I'm done. I don't know.
That is the pitch.
I can't plug things well. I'm not gonna be great on talk shows.
Says the guy doing a talk interview right now.
Oh, there's so the audience left years ago.
I'm going to check in later and see how many people actually made it this far in and report back to you to let you know. Honestly do look at and see like how far people make it in on episodes.
Yeah.
And they usually stick around for the whole interview and then bail when I get to my closing.
Oh yeah. Are you closing right now?
No.
Good.
Not quite yet. I mean,
I thought you were going to like, this is like saying, okay, and now we're done.
I get to that point, but it's not that abrupt.
That's good.
I don't just say stop.
I'm glad that's not your method, because that would be terrible. I feel like...
Podcast over. No.
I feel like Dr. House would have more manners than that.
That's a specific reference. Dr. House.
I barely watch that show.
You should easily reference TV shows from, what, 10 years ago at this point?
I mean, it's the binge era, man. That you could watch that show in like 2 days.
Speaking of, what stuff are you watching now?
Oh God! I've been powering through Mrs. Maisel.
Okay,
I love that show. Really good. I just finished last night / 5 o'clock this morning.
High Flying Bird. I haven't heard that one.
It's a Steven Soderbergh movie about basketball and sports management.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's all filmed on an iPhone.
Oh, it's that one.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's a series or a film.
It's a film. It's I'll give it, this is probably the best praise for it. I I was on the edge of my seat, even though I knew absolutely nothing that they were talking about.
Okay.
I don't follow basketball. I don't follow sports in any nature. Go Broncos. But I was so...
Don't follow them. Just cheer for them.
Just cheer blindly into the wind.
Sometimes it's not even there's when there's a game going on. It could be the off season.
Yeah,
middle of the summer.
I don't even know what season it is. Like,
you'll
walk
out in the street and just yell, go Broncos.
Somebody's going to say, yeah. That's all you live for. The other thing is... the other thing is I just watched Russian Doll with Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah, that one's
and
great.
That one is like... Like, if you're, like, I'm so jealous of it sometimes. I'm like, holy crap, that show is so good.
Well, and I love that that came out of a failed pilot for NBC for a comedy show.
Oh,
they
wait,
apparently
what?
Did a, yeah, apparently she and Amy Poehler did this pitch for a pilot for NBC, didn't get picked up. And so they took elements of it and reworked them and created this, like, dark version of Groundhog Day, basically.
I mean, that. It works so well. It's,
yeah.
And it's such a great, like, people call it a puzzle box show. I can't stand J.J. Abrams sometimes, but, like, I think the thing that utilizes for this and the best way to use, like, that puzzle box element is that it's using the gimmick or the hitch of the show to, like, have the characters grow and become, like, it's not, they avoid all the pitfalls of it just by focusing on their characters.
Right.
And as opposed to the central mystery or trying to figure out what that is. Because I think a lot of people, if you give them like a mystery, they're always going to wonder what it is. Their imagination is always going to be bigger than what the actual problem is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a smart decision for just like doubling down on like these really interesting, selfish, broken people.
Yeah. And which I feel like is the most interesting subject for most stories.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that is you're describing Veep, for instance.
Yeah.
With
oh,
that
God.
Same description.
I love Veep. And like some perfect show. There was one person I heard say like, oh yeah, I can't watch that show. I asked him like, wait, why? It's like, yeah, I hate all the characters. I hate all of them as people. And I'm like, so do I, but like
I get that for some things. Actually, so I have some stuff like for me, a lot of Ben Stiller movies.
Yeah.
I can't watch past the first one. It's not because I hate the characters, it's because I just know it's just a series of uncomfortable choices. And when I watch him the first time, it's like, oh, really? You did that? Oh, really? You did that? And
yeah.
Then after that, I'm pissed at him. Like, stop making the stupid decision.
Yeah.
Like, just roll with the punches. Let something else happen.
You're a 40-year-old man. You should not be able to be dealing with these problems still.
Exactly. I mean, like, there's something about Mary and Along Came Polly, and like they're hysterical movies, but on a second view, I like them less and start to dislike them from that.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Throat pillows have been mean to be satirized their entire time. I've been waiting for somebody to do a good bit on throw pillows all my life.
I feel like somebody did do a throw pillow bit.
Yeah, it was a Long Game Polly.
No, in a stand-up special too. I want to say there was somebody that it might have been a Jim Gaffigan bit.
Oh,
I think he may have done something
that
like that. Or
yeah, that sounds like something.
Yeah,
he would. Do.
I don't know. It was something.
It was probably like throw pillows.
It just does. Just his like sister's voice. And
his
goes
sister's
back.
Voice.
So you did stand-up stuff before. What was your Are
my
you still,
shtick?
Are
my
you still,
styling?
Well, not even not style, but we're are you still doing stand-up now? Or
no, actually, it's weird. I came to move here and to pursue pursue comedy, and I immediately stopped doing stand-up. I can't attribute anything. It's just like the fact that Boise comics or comics in Boise are. It's a family unit a little bit where I was coming up. It, like, we were all kind of like, we all watched each other's sets. And there was some occasional backstabbing, but you get what you get for
right.
Show business. But I always, when I came here and I tried going to open mics and looking at stuff, I was immediately scared of every Chicago comic I ran into. I jokingly talk about, like, I throw, like, cocaine references every once in a while, but like I've never done any hard drugs like that. In Chicago, I'm like, oh no, they've absolutely done that. Like they've 100% done cocaine.
You can't drop something like that into a set without actually having the background to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and like exactly. Because then they'll like call like bullshit. Like you, like look at you. You look like you were just born out of a suburb a minute ago. Like, yeah. Not saying suburbs don't have good coke. I don't want to get that reputation out. So Evanston, you still have a good reputation.
You're practicing your old stand-up bit now.
Right? Yes, yes.
Just going through it on the podcast.
I've never done the coke there, but I've seen it, and they seem to be having themselves a good old time.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Well, in kind of wrapping up, I'm preparing you for this now so that you know that it is coming.
Also, go ahead.
But no,
I was going to ask you, what have you been watching? What do you like? What is Tony into?
I've been watching a lot of Letterkenny recently.
I love
Letterkenny.
What is it? Is it just like faster Trailer Park Boys? What is that?
No, it's smarter than Trailer Park Boys, I think, because it's a pattern-based show. I would put it closer to, honestly, like closer to an Eric Andre than to a Trailer Park Boys, like there's nothing else like it. That's the tough thing.
And okay.
It's just this idea that they bring a sketch mentality to a long form story is basically how it
works.
Oh. And so there's a lot of bits but it's bits that feel like a conversation that you and your friends would sit around and have, you know, when you're in high school, college, just talking to a bunch of friends and just getting on some random topic for a bit.
Yeah.
And just digging in deep on those topics, mm-hmm. and then going back to the overarching story. And then sometimes out of those topics, these bits come up that then become like inside jokes that you now as a viewer are inside. Right. They'll use those forevermore in the show.
It sounds a little bit like Arrested Development.
It gets that way too, yeah. There are things that they set up in season one that pay off in season four.
And
very much like Arrested Development.
Yeah,
did.
Yeah.
And so one of the, like, for example, they have this To Be Fair bit, mm-hmm. where there was an episode where one person goes, To Be Fair, and then everybody goes, To Be Fair, To Be Fair, To Be Fair. Like, and they all do different
variations.
It's
like a hot rod routine almost.
And it's just that because they're digging at them for using the statement To Be Fair. And then by the end of that episode, when somebody says To Be Fair, then they do like a four-part harmony. To Be Fair, To Be Fair, To Be Fair, To Be Fair.
Just fall.
To Be Fair. And then they continue the and so now and throughout the rest of the series, whenever somebody uses the statement To Be Fair, it's followed by that exact thing. Whenever the main character greets somebody else, hey bud, how you doing? Not so bad, and you? Not, you know, it's just everything has a standard cadence and standard response. And so anything that's thrown in that's new is just oil and water. Like you're watching the water that you have grown to appreciate and enjoy, mm-hmm. and just oil getting dropped into it is the best way that I can probably put this.
Well,
it's probably not the best way, but I'm saying it's the best way.
I'm probably gonna go home and
check it out.
Yeah.
Also, Pen 15.
I've heard a lot of my friends talk about that too.
It just launched on Hulu. I've seen the first two episodes actually when we had Debbie Liebling, producer for
the great Debbie Liebling,
came and showed them here before the show actually launched. But it's all officially up on Hulu now. It's hysterical. If you enjoyed Wet Hot American Summer, it's in that vein. It's in that vein in so much as. It's two women who are in their 30s playing themselves when they were in like junior high, but all the other actors in it are all kids, are all like junior high aged kids, and it's hysterical because it's just so awkward and weird and wonderful. And
I've heard great things about that, and I love David Wayne. Mm-hmm. His sense of humor is very right in my sweet spot.
And have to mention Alyssa Wilden, graduate of the program, also has worked on that show.
Holy crap!
So that's part of the reason that it's like big push for Harold Ramis is to talk about that. So
yeah, I got drunk at her apartment. It was great.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she worked on this show, and she's working on apparently something else now that she hasn't started promoting, but is going to Because she posted about this show. She was like, go watch it. And then wait, because I'm going to start pushing other stuff for you to go watch soon.
Was she a PA? Or like a script supervisor?
I want to say production, like assistant production coordinator or something like that.
I think
her role changed during the filming.
Yeah, of course.
Because somebody left and she got like a field promotion up to another role.
Damn.
But yeah, they loved her on the production apparently. So
I have to go see it. Yeah.
All the more reason to go check it out.
I'll go check it out.
So there's stuff that I'm watching.
Nice.
This has been Tony's Watching Corner.
Thank you, Tony.
No.
Do you want to go in the NPR cadence throughout the rest of the interview?
No.
Understood.
I don't. If people want to try and track you down on social media, see the stuff that you're working on, find out about this project when you're done with it from April, where can they come track you down?
Talk to Ron. Find Ron Falzone, get his email, get his like LinkedIn account, like his OKCupid profile, and he forwards
his
all my
OKCupid. That's a married man.
I mean, he's not active on it. He made it, he just never deleted it. There's still people that use OKCupid that are married and dating.
Yeah, they also use Ashley Madison. They're the character from your feature film.
Yes. He that's how that story eventually ends.
Yeah.
Is that he starts the funny for Alyssa.
I'm glad you came on the show so we could break your story.
I'm so glad. I'm going to go to Trevor Meal and say, I think I know how to fix this thing. I'm ready to turn it in properly.
Properly. This time. Now, finally.
Yes. A year and a half later, here it is. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, under Twitter, it's Lounsbury, and Instagram, my name, Facebook, Sam Lounsbury. If you want to talk to me, like message me and I'll gladly help or something.
Yep. You're one of the most communicative people that I've talked to as far as like getting a response and being engaged. And
because
so.
I barge in, I demand a response.
No,
oh,
I'm talking
okay.
about
oh,
online
yeah, yeah, yeah.
too. I'm trying to give you a compliment.
Oh, sorry. No,
take
that's your first mistake.
Sam.
No,
take the compliment.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man.
I appreciate you having me. When do we get paid?
And that was Sam Lounsbury. Thank you to Sam and to the Harold Ramis Film School and the Second City staff for their help. The song on this week's episode was Blame by Kathy D off her new EP, Nostalgiadict. Find it now on iTunes and Spotify. This show is recorded and edited by me, Tony Lazzaroni. If you want to hear more from me and my classmates, teachers, and a few special guests, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you have questions or comments, send us an email at filmstudentpod@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at filmstudentpod. And be sure to check out some of my and my classmates' work at filmstudentpod.com, where you can also find links to all of our past episodes. See you all next week. Class dismissed.